the preaching of the all or nothing. And he, answering, said to them, Matthew 13, verse 11a. In the past few days, we considered the words which sound so terrible to us, all or nothing. We did not know what to say about them, as long as we tried to explain them from the earth, from this world. But when we hear them spoken by Him, by the Christ, indeed, then we can endure these hard words. Then we hear in them Him who gives us life. Let us not forget that this hard law of the all or nothing cannot be preached to us by anyone else but by the Christ. Indeed, anyone else who tells me these words without indicating the Christ at the same time will make me desperate by these words, or similarly, make me indifferent by them. Just allow the law of all or nothing to be preached to you once, and let the preacher representing this law be an unbeliever, a stranger. Would you then not become desperate? When you understand this cutting and excommunicating word, as it is to be understood, as a message of extreme seriousness about the kingdom of heaven, then it will make you desperate. For then you will know that God requires everything and will never weaken His demands. And you will also know that you are not able to fulfill those demands. The end will be that you become desperate. Or the preaching of the law and the sound of this severe thunder will cause you to become indifferent. It will go past you and no longer touch you. There is also the other possibility, that you will explain these words in a human manner, that you will act as if it does not deal with eternal but with temporary matters of life. Then you will become rebellious, or you yourself will become a tyrant because of them. You will become rebellious when you include yourself among the poor and consider that it is the way of daily business that the one gets everything and the other nothing. The capitalist will become richer and the poor still poorer. Or if you are on the other side of the line that divides the rich from the poor and the powerful from the weak, you will adopt these words for yourself as a comfortable rule of life. You will profit greedily from it. And the end of the matter will be that you take more and more and grant others less and less. Then you yourself will have become a tyrant. And there we are. If we understand these words as a law within the realm of temporary and passing things, we become rebellious or create insurrectionists. And if we see these words in the context of the kingdom of heaven, but disconnected from Christ, from the gospel, and see them only as a preaching of the law, then they cause us to become desperate, insane, or indifferent. That is why there is only one way to apply these words correctly. That one way is that we listen properly to this particular sermon as the preaching of this preacher. We should not for one moment consider the message apart from the messenger. We have to be as the disciples who inquisitively approached him and said, "Explain this parable to us." We have to see that he who presents this message to us shows us thereby the way, while at the same time he puts us on that way, the only way by which this word no longer is a terror, but a powerful and complete consolation. For he who tells me that I stand under the law of all or nothing, and who at the same time instructs me that this iron law controls my life in the beginning, the continuation, and the end, also says to me, "Look at me. I have, though I was rich, become poor as one who does not have. And in my humiliation, even that which I had was taken away from me. That was my beginning." And again he says to me, "Look at my continuation. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. My work devours me. I am being sacrificed every day. From me has been taken also what I had." And for the third time he speaks, "Look at my end. Soon, at the cross, I will keep faith in God. I will say to him, my God. I will have that one thing, the ties to God, the holding on to the God of the covenant. But I will be treated as the one who does not have. From me will be taken also what I have. Soon I will be forsaken by God. I will be thrown outside the gate, condemned to death. And now that I heard him say all this, and now that I hear him say it, now light is appearing in the night. Now I know it. It is he who himself is the surety, and he is the mediator, who by his perfect sacrifice carries me in communion with God. He it is who gives life out of grace, that eternal life which once it has will receive steadily more. Now I know it. This word was not preached in advance to me, so that I could mechanically work with it, as with a rule from theoretical instructions, which one has to study before he is allowed to practice them. Oh no, here I learn everything, except seeing life as fate. For to him who does not have, the imperative invitation comes to receive and have for nothing. And to this preaching he is bound, and, if he accepts it, is saved by it. But what about he who already has? Indeed, he will hear afterwards the joyful message that all who have truly and certainly will end up with an abundance. For him this message is a great consolation. For if he had to maintain his life by himself, he would say, today I have, and tomorrow I will have lost it. If he had to protect it in his own insurance policy, he would say that the law on which all earthly insurance policies are based would apply here too, that he who today has could lose again tomorrow. But Christ says this absolute word to me, all or nothing, and he says it with his assurance. I, says he, I had nothing. Then I gave you something by grace, but election already destined you with everything for my sake. I insure your something, and thus it will become everything. If I only have come to him, I will know it. Life is secure for me, for there is a comfort of eternal election, and there is a comfort in the otherwise such hard words, all or nothing. When another preaches those words to you, it will strike you dead. When Christ preaches them to you, it is music, the fugue of the faithfulness of God who perseveres in his saints.